Welcome to Uptime Community Church. I'm just going to share real quick, and then we're going to chit-chat with the panelists tonight. We have a special guest tonight on here as well. We're going to be talking about her, Amy, which is my sister, which is fantastic. But tonight, I just wanted to read, this is our scripture verse for tonight, and in case you're wondering, I'm hosting tonight. But speaking the truth in love, may God grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4:15. Love that. Love that. So, Greg is still around. He's around in the background. And we're going to have fun tonight. But, like Greg always starts off the podcast, I'm going to also follow suit. We're going to talk about 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 4. Again, another favorite verse. In fact, this chapter is one of my go-to chapters. So, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached to you, unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. And today is April 30th. Last day of April. So very excited to be on this podcast tonight. Like I mentioned, I have my lovely sister Amy, but I wanted to just open up here and just welcome the panelists. Bob Barber, how's it going tonight?
It's going great tonight. Really excited about what's coming up this week. Kind of in a dead time. Things are really quiet right now, which is right about that point, because we are in the birth pains, and right now everything is just settling down, waiting for the next big, you know, birth pain to hit. You know, something weird happened to me this morning. I don't know what it was, and I'll say this and I'll close and we'll move on. I was on my computer and something came up on, I was on Microsoft News. That's where I saw it. And it was a big picture that said Israel struck Iran nuclear facilities.
Oh wow,
that's what I saw. And I was like, wow, that happened today. Okay, I'm working. I'm gonna get back to that and read it. And then I went back looking for it. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. I was like, where'd it go? I told you, hey, you hear about that, John? I didn't hear anything about that. I was like, that's big news. You didn't hear about that? I was like, no. I was like, did it happen? Was I seeing things? And turned out it never happened. But really? I see right here on my computer, Israel hit Iran nuclear facilities. I don't know if they hit it with a nuclear weapon or whatever they did, but they blew it up. A bunch of them. So John's like, you probably saw a vision on your computer screen, essentially. So very interesting. Wow.
So, you know what's interesting is that was the headline when Israel struck outside of the nuke facilities. That actually was the original headline. So maybe there was a problem with the cache or something like that where it came up again, because because a lot of places changed their headline just immediately thereafter, when they realized that Israel had not actually hit the nuke site, but the base close to it. So, maybe it's a foretelling of the future. Yeah, because look, we do know that that ultimately Iran's going to get hit, because there are some people who believe that, and I'm one of them, that believe that Jeremiah 49 is still yet to be completely fulfilled. That's the prophecy of Elam, which is the southwest portion of Iran. That's what it used to be called. And that's where there's a whole bunch of nuclear facilities there, and it says that their bow is going to be broken. So yeah. Something's going to happen.
Awesome. You know what I like about you, Kevin? You hit the pavement hard. You are running hard right out of the gate. I love that. And just boom, let's go full throttle.
I don't know any other way.
Yeah. So we'll come to you. We'll go to John. Bonjour, mon ami.
Bonjour, les États-Unis et le Canada. Hello, United States and Canada and all the world. Nice to be here tonight. I'm doing well. And the Bible study group is growing, and it's really good. And we are studying verse by verse. But indeed, people are very asking questions about some stuff, about Revelation and all this. So we're getting deep into it. It's really nice.
Nice. Awesome. Thank you for that. Kevin. Amen. Kevin, welcome, Kevin.
Well, you know, I think I've already started, but buenas noches a los Estados Unidos y Colombia.
There we go.
I mean, we might as well. It's worldwide. This is a worldwide broadcast.
Right. So. That's right.
Oh, man, what a week we've been seeing, haven't we? We've seen the deterioration of this Western and world civilization right before our very eyes. It is something to behold, isn't it? I mean, if you don't think you're in the end times by now, well, you're missing out, because we're watching prophecy, and we're watching the words that Jesus and Peter, mainly those two, talked about what's going to happen at the end. We're going to see wars and rumors of wars. We're going to see earthquakes in diverse places. We're going to see famine. We're going to see pestilence, and we're going to see the love of man grow cold. I think we're seeing all of that right now, right before our very eyes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that, Kevin. Amy, welcome.
Hi, bro.
Welcome to Uptime Community Church. So happy you're here. I just wanted to perhaps let you introduce yourself, who you are, in case people don't know you here on this channel. And I think it would be appropriate, too, to just maybe just mention a little bit about your channel and what's going on. And just tell us a little bit about yourself, just, you know, in just a couple of minutes. Just who are you? Amy, who are you?
Well, I'm really blessed to be on here, and I'm thankful that you guys asked that I'm able to attend tonight. It's just truly a blessing, and you know, the Lord works in amazing ways when you're faithful to Him. And so I just thank you. I can't see any of you right now. I feel like I'm talking to myself.
You got the spotlight.
That's awesome.
I don't like the spotlight. I want to see my brother.
Blake doesn't like the spotlight.
That's funny.
That's why I had it all dim in here. No, but I'm just, thank you so much, brothers, for asking me on here, and for Greg reaching out. It's just honestly a blessing. And, you know, for me to be on here, you know, it's just a matter of like the Lord's doing. It's all glory to the Lord and what He's doing, and where we're going in our walk with the Lord on a day-to-day basis. And I mean, I can give a little bit of a testimony. There's a lot to it, but just kind of what the Lord has been doing in my life lately, and how I look back and see that He's always been there and guiding me in many situations that I've walked away from the faith. But you know, a little bit of a quick background. I didn't grow up in a home that was a Christian-based home. My dad came from like the Catholic side of things, and my mom came from the Muslim side of things. But we weren't practicing either religion in our home. But it was just, well, your dad's Catholic, your mom's Muslim. But the funny thing about it, as you look back and you just see the Lord working on you since I was a child, I would go to my grandpa's house on the reserve, and there would be Jesus pictures all over the wall. Not sure what they were, like, who's this guy? What's this all about? But there was a Bible, and interesting enough that I would study the book of Revelation when I was 8 years old, 10 years old. Scared. It was very scary to me, but it was intriguing and I wanted to know more about it. And as my life progressed, you know, as a teenager, you know, I dealt with a lot of anger issues. My parents separated, you know, a lot of those things were going on as I was a teenager, kind of rebellion for many years. You know, and then in my early 20s, I had my first daughter. And by the time I had my middle child, they're 2 years apart. There was something stirring in me that's like, what's to life? What's life about? You work, you go to take care of kids, you come home, you know, what is it? So I went on a deep dive of who is God? Who's this Jesus? What's all these religions? What does this mean? And I went on a really deep dive on every religion in the world. And I wanted to know the truth. And Jesus revealed himself to me to be the truth. And so, you know, that's been my journey over the years is as I've progressed and walked with the Lord. You know, and there's times in my life that I've stepped away from the faith just because I didn't truly know who I was in Christ. I didn't know my identity in Christ. I know I loved him, but I didn't know of his love quite yet, right? And that love compels you to stay close. And I've had tastes of it during my walk, but it hasn't been till the last few years. Like, I mean, you know, I've been, obviously I got really close to the Lord over the last 5-6 years. No, actually longer than that. I was involved in a church. I still am involved in a church, but I led worship for years on the worship team, a little bit of ministry, those types of things. Not long after COVID, I experienced something within the worship team that in leadership that I didn't like. I didn't really like the taste of that whole leadership and what that looked like. And dealing with people's emotions and, you know, ministering to that when, you know, it can get really messy. And I just felt I needed to step away. And I was heartbroken about it. I made the choice to step away. I was heartbroken about it. And, you know, because there was things progressing in my life that, you know, I was walking with the Lord. And we know that there's promises that we've had conversations with the Lord that, you know, we see that's coming into fruition. And something just kind of blew up in regards to the worship scene. And it broke my heart. Because sometimes we, you know, we walk with the Lord and we feel that he's pointing us in this direction. And there's promises that we feel that he's put on our heart. We see this amazing journey progress, fruition's coming. And like in my case, there was a lot of on the worship side of things. I was producing music. Well, I was creating music. I was writing music. The Lord was sending me all over the world for training with some amazing, amazing worship leaders. Like there was favor that was I can't even describe the favor that the Lord and the atmospheres that where he put me to for this type of training. And it was amazing. And that journey with him. And then my worship team just kind of blew up and it was just really heartbreaking. And I was like, you know what, Lord, like I've done everything, you know, I've done everything that you've asked me to do. And this is what it looks like. And, you know, that anger, you know, in questioning his goodness, you know, and this was about 4 years ago. And questioning his goodness. And I was just like, you know what, like, I'm not equipped for this. I'm not equipped, you know? So I stepped back. I took myself back from it. Kind of was so heartbroken about it with the Lord. And I was, you know, questioning his goodness. And stepped back kind of like, well, I'm just going to do what I want to do then. You know, I've done it. I've tried this. I've walked this path so tightly with you, and I guess I'm just not good enough, you know? And I mean, the Lord is so gracious in it. And when I was still in my word, I was still praying, but nothing like, you know, I was before. I was just doing my thing and, you know, living in a lifestyle that I wasn't like, haven't lived in a lifestyle for a long time that way since I was young. And I started to walk back into that. And it was just like, the Lord was stirring me. And when you get a taste of the Lord and you taste his goodness, he'll never, like, he doesn't let you go. He just doesn't. He's continuously to stir, like, stirring your heart, like coming back, like drawing you back to him. And I felt that so strongly. And, you know, a few years ago, the Lord's like, okay, Amy, I'm drawing the line. Here's the line. Are you going to come back or are you going to live this lifestyle? Come back to me because I need you. And in that moment, I just, you know, he was so gentle, but so firm, so gentle and so firm. And, you know, he was just stirring me so much that I couldn't even ignore it any longer. And so I just like, you know what, Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you, you know, and just show me what that looks like. Show me what that looks like, that what your love looks like. I want to love people that way. I want to be able to walk fully into everything that you've called me to be and who that you said I already am. And so I went on this journey that, you know, I just allowed the Lord to just minister to me through his word and just pour out his love over me and allow me to, you know, what we do in life is we kind of look at the goggles of like who God the Father is through what we've experienced earthly as well as love experience as well too. And so I'm only capable of loving somebody of how I know what love looked like, right? So I was like, Lord, I know, you know, I'm reading your word and your greatest commandments to love, you know, because love covers all multitude of sin. And he says, if you love me, you obey my commandments. What's your commandments? What's your commands? Like, I know, you know, we got the 10 commandments, but you're going deeper here. What does that mean? It's to love. And because when we're walking in that place of love, it covers all of those commandments. It covers everything. And I'm like, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know your heart. I want to know everything about you. Let me walk in this place of love that I'm just unraveled, you know, and that's the journey that I've been in. And, you know, and he's drawn me so close and I've experienced it so deeply that I just cannot help but cry when he just shows up, you know, when he shows up. And the intimacy aspect is so dynamic to our walk with Christ. When Jesus went to pray, he went unto the Father and he went into the secret place. And that's where everything pours out from. You know, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and everything will be added onto you. Well, if we're walking in a place of we're trying to add everything onto us before we're in that place of intimacy with the Lord, we're only adding things that are going to be GMO'd fruits, you know, not the fruit of the Spirit that's going to pour out of us from a place of intimacy with the Lord. And that's the first place. That's the works that the Bible talks about, is the works of being with the Lord. Our greatest call is to know him. And my passion is these days is to know him deeper. And in that revelation of who he is, everything else starts to make sense. His character, the dynamic of who he is, the word just starts to unravel in understanding of the knowing of his character and who he is and his love. And, you know, all my journey, though, throughout the journey of walking with Christ has been a deep prophetic angle of the Lord speaking to me of a lot of end time aspects. Like, it's amazing. That's always been something that he's had in me, of just a knowing that I'm going to see his return, you know? And,
am I muted?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your channel, and then let's bring in some of the panelists too, because I think you're tapping into something right now that's pretty special. When we talk about God's character, like if you don't understand God's character when you're reading the Bible, and if you don't understand what's going on in regards to the end times, like we can look all around us, and this is why we're all here on this channel. We all have a little bit of a different flavor from each one of the guests that are here mm-hmm. tonight.
Sure.
And specifically, we love talking about what's going on around us from the perspective of God has a plan. He has a plan for us. It's not, he wants us to know what that plan is. And part of it begins with Jesus Christ, knowing who he is, knowing who our identity is, knowing who his character is. And you touched on that, talking about Revelation, that you kind of gravitated towards that, just like our other brothers, like Bob, like John, like Kevin here tonight. We're all gravitating in that area. Like, we can talk about just about any other topic, but it seems like we are fixated with preaching the gospel to people mm-hmm. to make sure that everybody knows, like every time we have an episode, that they know the gospel. Mm-hmm. So may you just tell us just a little bit about your channel real quick, and then let's bring in the brothers here into this conversation. I think they got a lot to say about this.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I just started a YouTube channel a few days ago, Revelation Harvesters, with the help of my brother. So there's a mixture of why, you know, we decided to call it that, you know, because the love, I wanted to keep it open in an aspect of obviously end time. Bible teachings, mm-hmm. also the love of Christ, the harvest aspect of who we are in Christ, our identity and what we're called to is to bring the harvest in, right? And to proclaim the gospel. They all go hand in hand. Like, to know who our identity in Christ is so significant, because that's going to allow us to walk in that place of authority, and also the understanding of his character, and also the understanding of who we are in him, and in a degree of what he's enabling us to do in this time. Right. And I mean, there's so many, and also the aspect of the revelation of his word, right? Yeah. The end time revelation prophecies that are just popping out of nowhere, and the correlation that's just unraveling in the times that we're in. The more you're in the word, you're seeing end time revelation and deeper understandings of what the Lord is, and to be close to him right now. And that's why he's like, Amy, I'm drawing the line. Like, you need to be so tight with me. I'm moving very quick these days, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go right, left, north, south quickly. Yeah. But those who are on to me and those who are tight with me, they're going to know. They're going to know in the spirit. And I'm going to bring them with me everywhere. And so,
I feel that too, that there is a little bit, like you said, I think I know where you're going there, the unraveling. And I know, like, when you think about, like, even, it feels like we've taken over this channel. Like, we got three Canadians here and two Americans here. We got, Mr. John, what do you think about, you know, Amy mentioned about the unraveling, like right now, it's almost like time to get serious, like get serious today. There's no time to fool around. So what are your thoughts around that?
Well, maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you could bring up the gospel, the First Corinthians 15, 1-4 with pretty flowers and take your time.
Yeah.
Now there is no time to put pretty flowers. I'm sorry, it's turn or burn. Mm. And like this morning, somebody was talking and, physically, if we're looking in the Bible, there's no more prophecies to come on before the rapture. Everything has come to pass. right? So far, we're just looking at the calendar. We're watchmen, and we look at this, especially we focus on the Jews, what they're doing, because I still mention it again. I do not believe in our calendar. It's so messed up in every way, form, or shape. Everybody put his little things in it. And I don't think it's I don't think that it's a right calendar. So, no, there is no time to put pretty flowers. Listen, this is what we are. We're sinners. We're come short of the glory of God. You need salvation, okay? And people say, oh, that's your thing, John. You know what I want? I said, do you like me now? Oh, yes, John. Can you believe that one day you will hate me? He says, no, I cannot, John. You're very nice to me and everything. Yeah, the morning after the rapture, you will hate me. Why? Oh, he didn't punch me in the face to make me believe the gospel. But it's going to be too late.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah, for sure. What are your thoughts, Bob?
Well, I agree with John. You know, we can't, it's kind of hard right now to make this thing look pretty because everybody's watching. Well, it's kind of, it's harder, but it's easier because of everything. Everybody's watching what's going on in the East right now. We don't have much time. Okay, this looks like this year is a year. All right, we have all these world governments that want to blow each other to kingdom come. All right, that is the cue that the rapture resurrection is about to take place. So it's like you have to jump right to the end. Like two people get married, just jump right in. Do you? I do. Okay, kiss. That's pretty much where we're at now. Yeah, you want to get on the boat or not?
Yeah. You're gonna miss
the boat. It's like here's the gospel. Jesus died for you. You understand that you cannot get to heaven unless your sins are forgiven. How are your sins forgiven? Well, the Jews used to sacrifice lambs at Passover, and they trusted in that blood to forgive them of their sins for a whole year. And guess what? It worked. Any of them that died during that time, they ended up in Abraham's bosom. Okay, because that blood of that lamb worked. And there are tons of people in Abraham's bosom, the Bible says, because the blood of the lamb worked. Okay, Jesus comes along as the Lamb of God, God's Lamb. He dies in the place of all the lambs, and now that is the final sacrifice that we all believe in today. So if you want your sins forgiven, you trust in that lamb. You trust in Jesus, and his finished works, and his blood atonement to pay for your sins. And this is why the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Okay, it's because if it's his blood, his work, okay, and people are like, oh yeah, you know, and I've shared a gospel like that, just straight up. I don't drop verses or nothing. I get like, you know, it's kind of like way your mom was a Muslim, okay, Amy. Yeah. If I talk to a Muslim, that's what I would say to them. I'll say, you Muslims, you guys believe in the Torah, right? You guys have no problem with the Torah. I know you don't. It's Paul's gospel is that we think is a heretic. Okay, but according to the Torah, they had to sacrifice lambs, and there has to be shedding of blood, so that your sins are forgiven. Mm-hmm. So the Muslims, you know, they agree with that because they believe in that part of the Torah. All right, so they have to understand there has to be shedding of blood for remission of sins. Okay, no remission of sins, that's the shedding of blood. Okay, the Book of Hebrews says that. Okay. So that's why Jesus came, shed his blood, the final sacrifice, a heavenly sacrifice, okay? That blood came from heaven in a sense. And since that blood was shed, we trusted it, now we can go to heaven. It just makes absolute perfect sense. Mm-hmm. But that's why I got to explain to people now. It's quick. It's not pretty like John says. It's not pretty. Yeah, I'll put stuff on Facebook now that says, hey, where are you going to be in 120 years? That I put stuff out like that. Do you know Jesus? Hey, see what's going on over there in Russia right now in Ukraine? Do you know Jesus? Stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important to, you know, because I was, I'm very bold that way for many years as well too. And, you know, but there's a dynamic to it that I was like, Lord, like teach me your heart in it too. Like, because I don't want to instill fear, right? Because knowing the Lord and having that relationship, there is no fear, right? And, you know, we walk in that place of like we should be terrified right now of what's going on, but we're all actually experiencing, you know, the scriptures of walking not in fear, right? And so you know, and the joy and the joy in the midst of it. Right. And so it's urgent to know Christ. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, it's not only the aspect of like, okay, well, you know, the rapture can happen any day. Absolutely. For sure. But it's to just know him. Like, he's so amazing, you know, like we don't have to walk every day in our journey without that type of love. We can experience him today and get that guidance and that love. And, you know, to have the good fruits to be able to spread the gospel, right? Or else we're just walking in our own ways and our own works. It's not going to even come to any fruit, like fruition. Right.
No, so
you guys remember when we were young, probably Amy is too young for that, but when we had movies at school, those big two rolls, yeah? Remember that? When the movie was over.
Yeah.
That's what you heard, right?
Yeah.
I can hear that stuff now. That I don't want to scare people, but I can hear that. The movie's almost over. One of my buddy, a good Christian, is in Quebec. And he says, listen, John, whatever you pray for right now, it shall come to pass. And the conclusion of this book, of this word, shall come to pass. And unfortunately, we might be deeper than we think in Revelation, because things are not coming day and night. They're gathering slowly, right? Mm-hmm. And we're so close to the rapture that I got goosebumps just by saying the word rapture. Okay? Yes, amen. There you go. Yes, and I can wait for that, right? Yeah. To get my my frequency pinned, and so I can hear it and go.
You know,
but this is how it is. It is so close right now. And Jude 22:23, you can put it on the screen. For some, you have compassion, but 23, you have to pull them out of the fire. So I tell them, like, my brother is not saved, and I bring it to him all the time. I did try everything. Now, after two or three times, we're supposed to let go, call them heretic or whatever. Okay, but that's family. So I don't want to give up. It's been 30-some years, but I don't want to give up just in case, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Kevin, so what are your thoughts about – I like the analogy that John used, because I'm a bit of a movie buff, and I remember the days where – they would have to take the reel off, and then everybody's like, what's going on? They put on the second reel, or they'd write your license plate on the screen saying, hey, your lights are on or whatever. And I'm like, I'm right in the middle of the movie. I'm right in the middle of Luke. I am your license plate, TBL 420. Like, what are you doing? What? So anyways, I like the tick, 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 tick. Cause I think that's where we're at right now. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, it's the time is short for people to get serious at this point. I mean, look, we're seeing the setup, and we're seeing even some of the policies and stuff that are going to start driving the road into the tribulation and even further. So the fact that we're able to see this right now shows how close this is going to happen. Bob and I talked about this maybe 6-8 months ago or something, about the blurring of the lines, right? Mm-hmm. Between this age and the next age. And there's always this crossover that kind of occurs during that period of time where you have two things that are competing against each other that right now you can see how much the restraining force is pushing against the evil in this world, and how the evil can't break through because we're here.
That's right. Point. Yeah.
And so which side do you want to be on? Do you want to be on the side that receives eternal salvation, that receives rest and peace and love for the rest of eternity?
Yeah.
Or do you want to trade that in like, let's make a deal for the duck, for the duck that's behind curtain number two? You know, that's not a good place to trade in. So you know what you're going to be trading in for. those who believe they're getting everything that they can out of life right now, and they're seizing the day, carpe diem, they're getting as much wealth and this and that that they possibly can. But what good is that going to do when it's worth nothing in the future? Right. You know, the Bible talks about all your gold and silver turned to dross. Dross is like just, you know, scrap metal that's been, you know, tossed away, basically.
Yeah.
It's worthless. And so why would you store up treasures here when you see the world the way that it is right now and where it's headed? Do you think all these missiles and bombs and everything are just never, ever going to be used? Come on. Yeah. They're building them for a purpose. They will be used at some point in the future. And does it seem like it's way far off right now, the way the world is and the way that everybody's at each other's throats? To me, it doesn't seem like this is a good investment. Mm-hmm. That investing mm-hmm. in the earth as your final destination mm-hmm. is not a good investment. So for those who are wise investors and this and that and talk about how much money they all have, it seems like they should be investing and shoring up treasures in heaven, because mm-hmm. that is for eternity. Heaven is not going to pass away. Actually, heaven is going to pass away. It says the heaven and earth will pass away, but there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And I guarantee that both of those will be better than what we have now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good point about that. When
God created everything, it was good. Mm-hmm. But there was no sin in the world at that time. But mm-hmm. sin came into the world and changed the world from good to groaning. And that's what the world is doing right now. As a matter of fact, not just the world here, but the whole creation is groaning. Mm-hmm. So there's a war in heaven that's going to be culminated, that we believe, around the midpoint of the tribulation when Satan is cast down to earth. Okay. Yep. So there's a war going on. But you know what? That war is going to end. And you know who's going to be victorious? God. Satan's not going to be able to rise to God's throne, even though he wants to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even though he said he will. But Satan says he will do all these things. And you know what? He is the father of lies. He is deceitful. So he'll talk to you and say that he'll give you this and give you that. But what good is that if you can't actually keep it? Because mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to keep that investment that you made here on earth in heaven. So I ask all those right now who are thinking that they're going to be able to get something out of this world ultimately to reassess your position mm-hmm. and reassess where the world is right now and take a look and see actually where the good investment is. The good investment is in Christ Jesus, and that's the only place the good investment is.
That.
Drop the mic.
Amen. Yeah. Rate of return on that investment is negative hell.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's worse than zero. Right. It's worse than zero. Yeah.
That's good. So, what are your thoughts, Bob?
What's that? What are my thoughts about that?
Yeah, like basically.
I love the part when he mentioned about heaven and earth passing away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said that triggered, you know, but the old when it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people say, oh, it's the rapture. That's not the rapture.
That is the next verse, isn't it? Yes. Yeah.
Jesus mm-hmm. hasn't revealed the rapture yet. The apostles mm-hmm. didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. In fact, Paul didn't learn about it 2 years later. Mm-hmm. So if for those of people of you out there, when people say that to you, when no one knows the day or hour, just go to Matthew 24 and you go to verse 34. It says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knows no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Okay. So Jesus said, nobody will know the day and hour when the heaven and earth pass away. Okay. You know why? Because when does the heaven and earth pass away? After the millennial reign is over, where the Bible says Satan is let up for a short while. There's no time frame on there.
No idea.
Nobody knows how long he's going to be. He's let up for a little while. That's it. We are outside of time. So guess what? Nobody knows how long Satan's going to run and do his deal. And when that's over with, and once that's done, nobody knows when heaven and earth is going to pass away and when the white throne judgment begins.
Right.
We're outside of time. That's why it says no man knows the day or hour. It's nothing to do with the rapture. Now, I don't know the day and hour of the rapture, but Paul said we will see it coming. So I think the day will come to a point where it's like, guys, I think it's tomorrow. I really do. This is happening. You got Poland hosting nuclear weapons now, which they are. And they just, and I say, let's say Israel just blew up Damascus with a nuclear weapon. Yeah, I think the next 7 days. And we're like, yeah, I think so. you know, good question. Good way to look at it. When Noah got sealed up in that ark, did you think that him and his family were having a conversation like, yeah, it's coming. It's coming. When they closed that door, you know how much that door weighed?
Right.
That door weighed about 2,000 pounds. It's like slamming a Mack truck. That thing got lifted and slammed shut. Like an angry slam.
And then they had to wait another week.
God closed that door.
And then they had to wait another week. So they were like, when is the rain going to start here? You know, right?
No, but Kevin, you're right. You're right, Kevin. Yeah. They calculated the weight approximately of how it would be about this much weight and this long. Yeah. And before it could float, right? Yeah. Was still stuck on the ground, but the water was rising.
Yeah.
At the beginning, people walk in the water, bang, bang, bang. But at one point, they were swimming, and at one point, they were no longer there, and then the ark flowed.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right, Kevin. You're right. You're right about that.
The fountains blew up, and at that point, nobody survived. So at the end of the seven-day wait, does that kind of ring a bell? 7 years, seven-day wait? That was when judgment came. That's when judgment came. So there was a seven-day period there where they were in safety until the full judgment came. Boy, that sounds interesting.
We're in the seven right now because what happened at the Revelation 12 sign back in 2017 was a rapturous time. It was also the sign of the dragon. It was the beginning of the tribulation sign. Mm-hmm. Okay, at Revelation 12. The whole story of Revelation 12 took place exactly almost 7 years ago, okay? Right. And then as soon as the seven-year period ends, God starts the next seven-year period, and it's Tishri, Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, and what did God do? He's putting a solar eclipse right on top of that day, October 2nd, marking the end. Hey, the 7 years is over, guys. Here's the next Feast of Trumpets that begins the next 7 years. And I'm marking it with a solar eclipse.
And by the way, isn't Tishri 1 on, what day is that this year? October 2nd?
Yeah,
2nd. So that's a really interesting, that's right after the 7th year anniversary of the Revelation 12 sign, which is September 23rd, 24th. So, I mean, you're talking, you know, well, I guess actually 24th plus 7 is the 31st, but there is no 31st of September, so that's the 1st of October. But guess what day that is in Israel? That's the 2nd. That's Tishri 1. So it's really interesting, Bob, that we're coming up on this anniversary. It seems like such, in some respects, such a long time ago, but in other respects, it seems like 7 years have passed so fast. Don't you feel like that? Because it's like so much has happened during this period of time that it feels like it was a lifetime ago. I mean, this is before COVID, well before COVID. This is before the Summer of Love. This is before all the things that happened during that year. And yet it feels like we were just there. It's like time really goes by very quickly now. I think because there's so much activity and action that's going on that it's really hard to keep up. And so you're always in motion. You know when time goes slow? When you're just sitting there doing nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Time just lags. But Kevin, doing something and doing something that you like, and I think we all like watching, then we have no lack of things to watch for. We're always constantly active.
Yes. Kevin and Bob, you bring all that stuff, and you're very smart about it. You link a lot of things and everything. My quick question. Have you ever stepped face to face with a Jew and ask him what he thinks about it? I don't have any Jews here around here. I'm on an island.
Yeah.
Did you talk with them? You did?
Mm-hmm. All right. I had worked with
what
a few
do
of
they
them.
Say?
What's that?
What do they say?
They don't believe in anything.
Right. Mm.
They didn't believe in anything. They think Jesus was
sad.
Just some type of I have Messianic Jewish friends.
Sure. Okay.
Okay, and they were total believers. Okay, so yeah, they're the ones that they're either a total believer or they're just atheists.
Yeah, I mean, we had Zeb Porat on here, and he was great. I mean, he talked about the rapture. He talked about all kinds of things. His veil has been lifted, but the Jewish people as a whole are blinded. See, and they have a blindness on them, but God has also put that blindness on them as well. But the veil is going to be lifted. They are going to be spurred to have the veil lifted because of, well, it says one of the things is jealousy. Is jealousy it talks about. So imagine all of us being taken, and yet they're God's people. What the heck just happened here? You know, I thought we were the ones who were supposed to escape. No.
People put on the shelf.
But God does provide them with a way to be protected in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. See, for 1260 days. So there is a way for a Jewish person to actually escape the big part of the tribulation. They go into the wilderness, they're protected, and then they are part of the remnant who call upon Jesus to come back. Mm-hmm. So they do ultimately get it, but that is only a portion. Many believe it's one third. Yeah. And so it's not very many, right? But I also did have a Jewish friend that I talked about with all this stuff. And you know what it led me to be able to do? Share with him Isaiah 53. And he had never read Isaiah 53, never heard about Isaiah 53.
The forbidden chapter for them.
It is the forbidden, right? They do not allow that. They don't like that chapter. Why? Mm-hmm. Because it's very, very close to sounding like what Jesus went through.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it sounds just like he was despised, rejected. Mm-hmm. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was wounded. He was bruised. Does that sound like a king to you? Mm-hmm. No, that doesn't. That's not the king that they were looking for. But you know what? It sounds like a king to me. Because my king needed to suffer and die in order to take away the sin of the world. See, without that sacrifice, there is no remission of sins.
That's right.
And so Jesus Christ himself was a king at that point, but he wasn't a conquering king for the rulers of the world. He was a conquering king over sin and death.
Amen.
That had to happen first. And that's what they missed. They were looking for financial stuff. They were looking for peace and security, peace and safety. Mm-hmm. And they're still looking for that today. Mm-hmm. And that's why they've missed it. See, they don't like this chapter. But you know what he did? He read it. And he came back and he said, oh my goodness, what was that? And I'm like, who do you think that's talking about? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, it sounds a lot like Jesus to me.
Oh, that is what we call a biggie.
And that is what
it is, a biggie.
Like, you are on the path to salvation, my friend.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, Kevin, I just wanted to tag on to what you were saying about the 7 years and those dates. I mean, that's when Rosh Hashanah is actually occurring in Israel at that time, which is interesting, right? That's one of the feasts that they have. Sure. And that's their new year.
Yeah. The head of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what? Number one, two, three, four, five. That's feast number five, the Feast of Grace.
I always believe that the rapture would probably happen during those feasts, but the aspect of like timelines is a little weird because I'm with John because I've been doing a dive on the Gregorian calendar, the Ethiopian calendar, and when I'm reading, you know, in the Word, right, like all these different types of like Tishrei and all, you know, all of these different months, and I'm like, what month is this?
Well, right? But here's the beautiful part. You know what month it's in, especially at that point, because the sun is clothing Virgo and the moon is at her feet. Revelation 12, verse 1.
We can't necessarily go by the 12 months,
No, no, no. See, it doesn't matter what that month is, but we know that that is the beginning of the seventh month. We know that for a fact because the Bible says that when the sun is clothing in Virgo and the moon is at her feet, which means that's when you can visibly see the moon for the first time. You see, that we know because when the sun is in Virgo, that is the seventh month. We know that for a fact because the barley is in the first month and the barley is on the opposite side when that's ripe.
Yeah.
And we know that that's the first month because that's the month of Abib, and which means the barley is ripe. But why do we know that? Because you can't have a feast of first fruits unless you have ripened barley.
That's right.
You see, you cannot offer up a feast of first fruits without fruits. So we know that. And then we know that 6 months later, in the seventh month, that when the moon is sighted, when the sun is in Virgo, and we know those stars, that you can see that that is the first day of the seventh month, which is the day of Rosh Hashanah, or the, what we call the Feast of Trumpets. Whether or not the calendar says that it's on this date or whatever, or it's October 2nd or blah, 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 who cares about that?
Yeah.
The point is to look at God's calendar, and God's calendar is
exactly.
That's right.
But Kevin, what are you saying, Kevin? I'm just joining the show, and you're a bunch of crazy people. We're watchmen.
But are we? Are we,
that's
though?
What we are. We're watching because Paul told us to watch. That's what Bob, Kevin, Shane, and Miss Amy is doing. They're doing that. They're watching. Yeah. Why? Because we can bark when time comes. We can tell people, right?
So that's why. This is what I would say. If you're not watching, you're crazy.
Yeah. And right. You won't know.
You won't know. Exactly.
You won't know. You will find out the morning after the rapture,
right.
And you'll be, that's it, right?
If you don't know what we're talking about, where have you been? What I mean, and welcome.
On what planet are you living?
And now it's time to start watching. If you're just joining us and saying, hey, what are these guys talking about? Listen to what we're talking about for the next, if we're here, the next few months, and we go over things that we've gone over before every once in a while, and we reinforce those things, and we encourage people to continue to watch.
That's my sign right there.
Thing is, we have many different departments here, though.
Yes.
Okay, because there's some watchmen that, you know, it was a good example. I was talking watchmen for this at Great Day, John Boucher.
Sure.
And we're just going back and forth about what's going on with the nukes and Ukraine and Russia. And we're just boom, 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 going. And Brother Aaron, we got a minute, joins us. And he's just listening. And he's just sitting to listen for 5 minutes and say a word. And I'm like, what do you think about all this, Brother Aaron? He's like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I really don't follow that stuff. I do all the Hebrew stuff, and I look at these little parallels. You can see what he does on his channel. He doesn't relate to it because it's not his department.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's just kind of like the way it is. So we're all different.
It's like the difference between a hand and a foot.
Yeah.
We're all members of one body.
That's right.
We're all in Christ, but we all have different things that we focus on and do. And God's given us the passion for those certain things so that everything can get covered.
Yeah.
I'm a watchdog. I'm not a watchman because watchmen in the Old Testament, they were all Jews, and Jews consider us as dogs.
So Amy, what do you Charter think?
Scripture. That's it. I warn people. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. The Bible study we do, it's verse by verse. Everybody chip in. We go through commentaries, stuff like this. But I'm just barking to people. Listen, turn or burn. It's coming. That's the sign right there, right? The light at the end of the tunnel is not the exit. It's an onrushing freight train coming towards you. And there's no room in the tunnel to put yourself on the wall.
It's not
I want to ask Amy a question here. So, Amy, you have a channel, so you're a watchwoman. So what do you think this year is like the biggest indicator you feel like? Tribulation's coming this year. Rapture's coming this year. According to what you've studied and information that you've acquired, what do you think?
You know, there has, like, we all know, we all experience when we are immersed in the Word daily in relation with Christ, His Word is coming just alive. And that being said, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and there's a knowing and there's a feeling of our King that's coming. There, we cannot even ignore it. There's a burning inside. Like when you say we don't, he doesn't know the hour, the day or hour. Absolutely. But there's going to be a knowing. We will know the day up or the up and coming up. And there's such an excitement in that, because I feel it. And the way that the Lord has drawn me so closely in, it was like, I need you. Get tight with me. Let's go. And also, we can be in a place of like just stagnancy too. Like, hey, is the rapture today? And then just be so upset that it wasn't the rapture that day. And we can get so focused on the rapture as an aspect of like, that's just a tunnel vision, right? But because there's a fine line there, right? And that the Lord is teaching me, as well as being a watchwoman, whatever you want to call me. There's a fine line there that we could get in that stagnancy of disappointment as well too, if we're just on that tunnel vision of just the rapture, just looking for the rapture. We're always going to look for the rapture because we're in relationship with Christ, and we're always desiring to be with him 100%, but we cannot lose the dynamic of the importance of us occupying when we're here as well, because the intensity, because, you know, there can be a place of that. We're so hyper-focused on that we get, take our eyes off the prize. It's a weird dynamic. And then people get so frustrated and like, well, I thought it was this day. And then they just, because they're so focused on that versus relational, right? And so the Lord has been showing me this. It's like, occupy and take on what's going on right now, and I'm going to unravel everything. Stay tight with me. Keep your eye on me. I'm the prize. But you know what? There's so many out there that need to know the word. They need to know who they are in Christ. They need to know their salvation in Christ. Like, your eyes on me, and I'm telling you, get out there and proclaim the gospel, right? Occupy everywhere you go. Allow your identity in Christ, and allow the whole kingdom to burst forth everywhere you go, that it's going to, you don't even have to say a word, and the Lord is just going to pour out of you and changing atmospheres all around you. And people are going to be drawn to you because they're like, what does he carry? What does she carry? There's something that I want that this person carries, and it's the kingdom. And that's where, you know, this whole dynamic of who we are in Christ and walking in that true identity and his love and knowing his character and that intimacy. And that's going to allow us to walk in. The kingdom is at hand. It is here already, out forth of us. And that's not something that we can naturally progress out of ourselves. It's false. It's only going to be from that place of intimacy and our excitement to see our King and to be with him. Absolutely. But it's like, who else wants to join this? This is amazing what's coming. And so I see, like, what's happening in the body of Christ is that there's a major correction that's going on over the last few years. And COVID has exposed a lot of the stuff that's been within the body of Christ, the church, and exposing these things for the glory of the Lord. And he's shaking that branch right now, and he's snipping and he's pruning. And he's, you know, he's like, who's the ones that are going to keep tight with me? Cause I'm going to continue to prune. And what does it say? I'm going to much more abundantly fruit, much more, right? Much more fruit. And that's where we need to be, in that place of like, just allowing the Lord to prune us and just focused on him. And, you know, and we know, I know there's an urgency here. There's a major urgency. So what does that mean? That equation is rapture. So, you know, that's equals rapture. Urgency equals rapture. The King is to return. Oh, right. Wow. And so, I mean, absolutely, like, that you feel awesome. It in the atmosphere. And that's my journey with the Lord. And I just strongly recommend just getting tight with the Lord. And just it's when we posture our hearts in a place of just, I want to know you, you know, just being like Mary at Jesus' feet, not the Marthas, because we can do all the works like the Marthas, but there's nothing that's going to come from that place, right? It's the Marys that are going to be effective when they do have to do the works like of a Martha. And so it's being at his feet and just knowing him. And it's just that heart's like, I want to know you. And that's the fire that he's going to ignite in you. And the desire, like, I'm the King's coming. you know? And so it's an amazing journey, and I'm excited to see the Lord, and I believe that he is on the brink of return. Like, you know, and last year, I had this sense of like something about the feast, the return of the Lord, you know, in the feast aspect. Like there was a major urgency in that in me. And I'm not saying it's going to be tomorrow, people. Okay. So don't start throwing up. Nobody knows the day or hour scripture, right? As soon as we speak this way, I'm saying when you're close with the Lord, you feel him. You feel him. You cannot not feel him. When you are intimate with somebody and you know them so well, you know their presence is around. You feel them. You know them. You know they're, you know, like this is what it is. And so it's kind of like at times when people are like, well, you know, that's what they've been saying forever, that he's coming. It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, he is coming. But how do you ignore that feeling, right? Like I know all of my brothers here that are on here have that urgency in us all. There's something that we just can't even put away. We can't put away even if we wanted to, right?
Yeah, right. You know, and speaking on that, Bob, that's kind of where you're going before, which is like the passage about no man knows the day or the hour talks about the heaven and earth passing away. However, we do not know what the day of the rapture is, except that it's on the day of the rapture. But we also know that we see the day approaching. We don't actually need to know the day of the rapture today to know that it's urgent. You see, yeah. We do have this sense of urgency. So why would we need to know right now what the day is? Would it change anything for you, Bob? I mean, I hope that everybody's living so and doing what Amy was talking about, which is not hiding under a bushel, not mm-hmm. not going into the corner right. and praying for the rapture 24/7, but actually going out there and doing what the great commandment is, which is to preach the gospel to all nations. And if you're doing that, then you're bearing fruit, you see? And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Because how do you know somebody's a Christian? Somebody asked this, and this is going to be good because I'll answer a question that I saw in there. Somebody asked a question and said, Bob and Kevin, how do you guys know if somebody's saved? Everybody believes in Yeshua. Everybody says that they believe in Yeshua. And I said, okay, well, yeah, but you can believe that a person existed, but that's not what salvation's all about. Because the gospel talks about that we believe that Jesus Christ was born and that he died for our sins and that he rose again on the third day. See, that's different than just believing this person existed. But the fact that this person was born and that he lived his life in a perfect, sinless manner that only fully God, fully human person can do. And there's only been one in the history of mankind like that, who went through the temptations of sin, but never gave into it because he was one with the Father. And when you're one with the Father doesn't sin. The Father's never sinned, okay? And so when you're one with the Father, the Son never sins. And so you need to have a spotless, blameless sacrifice in order to get remission of sins. That's not my rule. That's God's rule. And that's what he set up long ago. And after that, though, just dying is not enough, is it? Because Jesus needed to rise from the dead. Yeah. Otherwise, as Paul said, dying is in vain at that point. If you're dead, why would you pray to a dead God? That's no good. Yep. I mean, it's like praying to rocks or stone or whatever. I mean, or wood that's petrified. They're all dead. But Jesus Christ is alive. You see, that's the difference, is that our God is alive. For those who are Hindus and so forth, their gods who came before them, they are dead. And so you believe in Jesus Christ that he died for sins and rose again so that you may have eternal life because he set the standard. He basically washed away your sins. If you accept that sacrifice, you have no more sin, so you're perfect. So you're able to attain eternal life because you are spotless in the eyes of the Father at that point. He will change you from corruptible to incorruptible in just a split second. In a twinkling of an eye, you're going to get changed. So I would say that you know them. How do you know that somebody's
by their fruits?
You know them by their fruits. Yeah. If they're going to go and they're going to tell you that Jesus Christ died and then he rose again, guess what? They are bearing fruit. They are spreading the gospel.
And not the GMO fruit.
Yes, a big bowl of fruit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good, Kevin. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
and he does that within us. He does that within us.
Yeah.
Right? He's the one that he does that within us.
He stirs our spirit up to do that. Otherwise, you would be afraid as heck and you would never do that. But you get the courage, you get the ambition, you get the moxie to be able to go out there and spread it. And boy, we've seen those people on those watchers on YouTube going out in the middle of the street and preaching and getting blasted by the cops, getting blasted by people, but they don't stop. They just keep on going with their bullhorns. It's awesome to see that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes, Kevin. Well said. Well said, my friend.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have, I just wanted to read that verse real quick here. Matthew 7, verse 16 to 20. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And John, verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Bamo, blisto, drano.
Yeah.
Finito. That's how you know. How you know.
I love it.
That's how you know. That's how you know. So yeah, I love this. And it's like, okay, well, you know what, Lord, prune me now.
Yep.
Right? To bear much fruit.
Yes. Prune me. Good.
That's what prune. Dying yourself looks like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And less of Amy, more of Jesus.
Yeah. You're giving me an idea for a video. Thanks for that, Amy.
And so
I love it.
So that's why God put you through times. A lot of times though.
Yeah.
You started it. A lot of times, though, you started it. You did something. You walked away or you did whatever. Yeah. And then you've got to be pruned, right?
Yeah.
In order to bear more fruit. Because that tree that have all these you know, horrible branches and so forth, they give nothing.
That's
so you got to cut those bad things out every once in a while so that you can get back into it. And I think, Amy, that's pretty much what your story was all about at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, it's quite the journey. And, you know, once you're allowing to just surrender in that place of just pruning, man, like you start walking in your true identity, right? And, you know, like the boldness of Christ is just flowing out of you. And it's a place that you're just walking so tightly. And I just like, I don't know if there's a song that's called The Narrow Way. And it's just like, keep me, oh, keep me. It's saying, you know, like, you know, like, keep me, Lord, keep me, like, let me stay the narrow way. And that becomes, and I'm not going to say this as like easier, like, but it becomes easier in the sense of when you're dying to self and your identity is fully in him, it's just a belonging. There's nowhere else that I would rather be, but in his presence, right? It's just you desire it so heavily. So, I mean, and we all have to go through those journeys at times, right? And, but that's all to be the glory of the Lord. And, you know, unfortunately, we make wrong choices, you know, but the grace of the Lord is so amazing that this is the age that we live in is a grace of age, like the grace of age and the age of grace, sorry. And we don't also want to take advantage of that because he is so loving and kind, but at the same time, why would we want to basically like prostitute his grace out, right? It's, you know, and we think about it, and it just breaks my heart to think about that, you know, and to because of the, you know, the, once you get such a good understanding of who he is and his love, like, you're like, I don't want to forsake that. I love you. And it breaks my heart to do those things, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and no, it's a growing thing. And, you know, that's just.
It's interesting that in my backyard, and Amy's seen my backyard, I actually have three trees in the backyard. And one of them, when we moved in, somebody, well, speaking of choices, thank you. Oh, look at this. Look at this.
That is a bad
choice. My daughter brought me a blizzard. That's awesome.
So good. Long answer.
Benefits of being at my daughter's house is my daughters go out to go to Dairy Queen and I get a blizzard.
You guys have do you guys have Dairy Queens in the States?
Yeah. Yep.
They're called Sonic, I think, aren't they?
No, Dairy Queen. Did you have Dairy Queen?
There's a Dairy Queen next to a Sonic right down the street.
That's funny.
But in the States, yeah, all the Dairy Queens, you can have cheeseburgers, fries, chicken, and stuff like this.
Okay, no more food for a sec. I want to finish my thought.
Chicken fingers.
What?
Chili three. Yep, I have three trees in my backyard. One of them, when we moved in, was being choked out. It had a bracket at the very bottom. I didn't know. It's like, what's going on with these two trees? They're growing. The branches are coming out. The leaves are coming out. And then I noticed this one tree. And my son does landscaping. He's like, well, check the roots and see what's going on below the surface. Mm. Somebody planted the tree and left the bracket. And it was literally being choked to death. And I'm not a tree hugger. But I felt so sad for this tree. So I removed the bracket. And this spring I was checking it. And I'm like, you know what? Look at this. I saw some branches that were growing just a little bit. And they look brand new. They're green compared to the dead ones. I'm like, come on. Come on, baby. Come back to life. You can do it. I don't want to remove the tree.
Yeah. I like what you said there. That underneath the surface, that there was a bracket that was hindering it. And I mean, and that's the journey that we go through the Lord, right? He's the one that is going to take like a bulldozer and like, you know, go deep down into your roots, right? Into where the origin of these deep rooted things that need to be ripped out for us to walk fully in Him and our identity in Him and healing in that place to the deep pruning. So I like that. It's interesting. I just saw somebody on here that asked something before of me and Shane in regards to our parents, if they've come to Christ. Oh, yeah, there we go. Yes. Well, Shane's, we have different moms, same father. Mm-hmm. But Shane's mama, I think she's actually was on here earlier. I think I saw
her. Oh, right. Yeah, I think she's watching. Hi, mom. Yeah. How are you? Maybe my dad. Ah, bonjour, mon ami. Bonjour, monsieur. My dad is French from Quebec. From Montreal, Quebec. So they might be watching. Sometimes my father, he tells me, he says, hey, maybe don't go down that road on that topic. You're going to get in trouble.
Hey, you sound like John.
Thank you,
Kevin. I don't know why you sound like John, but you do.
Yep.
I don't sound like this, Kevin.
I don't talk like this.
You're back to the bone, Kevin.
By the way, William Shatner said the same thing. He said people will always come up to him and say, hey, Bill, why do you talk like? And he says, I don't talk like that, do I? And literally around him says, yes, you do.
That's awesome. Wow, Amy, why don't you finish your story
now?
Yeah, so Shane's mom has been a believer since she was young, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And then my mom
led me to the Lord, which is pretty cool.
Amen. Amen. And I know she's been praying for us.
Yep. Majorly. Mm-hmm. My biggest fan on my channel.
Mm-hmm.
Can you put this in the freezer? Yeah.
And then as far as like my mother, yes, she's a believer. She's one that she's quite funny. She's like, Amy, you know, I know you like you know, you love Jesus and stuff, but you just got to tone it down. Like, you know, you can go to church and you can sit there and listen, you know, but like you're kind of like you're radical. You're radical.
I am.
Yep, that's funny.
That's what it is.
My mom said to me once, "Why are you so focused on the Bible?" I said, "Mom, our real name is Jean-Luc. Jean-Luc, right?" I said, "You gave me two names from the Bible. What did you expect?"
Mm-hmm. Right? Jean-Luc Picard also named you probably after Captain.
He's not that
old. Captain of the Enterprise. Let's be honest here. You're named after.
That's the second
Captain of the Enterprise in this episode.
Yeah. Wow.
And then I just want
more than ever before.
Really, I'll finish up really quick here, guys. With my dad, like me and Shane's dad, we have the same dad. He came to Christ a few years before he passed. So I let him, you know, we did the prayer and everything. It was amazing. And so, that's awesome.
This is kind of funny. I just handed my blizzard back to my daughter. I said, could you put it in the freezer for me? Because I feel kind of weird eating it in front of my brothers and sisters in the Lord, because it's not fair to you guys. It's not fair.
It would be rude. It would be wrong.
But my daughter just said, can you maybe just tone it down just a little bit? Because my grandson's in the next room.
People in the chat asked me to do Kevin's accent.
Okay. What? Let's hear it.
I don't know. I don't know how to do it.
Guess what? You can't, because I don't have one, because I'm from Southern California. Southern California don't
want Kevin!
That is a proven fact. That is a proven fact. However, you can make fun of us on Saturday Night Live, because there are some Californians who talk like that. You know, they have a little Southern draw, but not so much as like a total Southern draw, but they're the Californians. Mm-hmm. They got the Fornians in there. I don't know, but I don't have an accent, so no, you're not going to be able to do it.
Well, you do have an accent to me. You have an American accent from the north. You don't have the Southern drawl.
No. No, but that's the point, though, is that I just have a flat English, not British, but English speaking. That's just all.
It's like me. My English speaking is flat.
It's perfect.
Let's get back on track. Get back on track, guys. Come on. All right.
That's awesome. So basically what Amy was saying, two moms, one dad. My parents were divorced when I was seven. And my mom basically raised us, would always bring us to church and everything, led me to the Lord. And I went through a phase where I didn't want, but then a few years ago, all of a sudden, just because of what happened with Ukraine, Russia invaded Ukraine, I'm like, I gotta get this serious. I gotta take this stuff serious. Like what Amy said, the Lord is slowly, it's like Lazarus coming out of the grave, just slowly unraveling the grave clothes, just little by little. And we're looking around us going, something is happening. You like how I interwove that into this, Amy? You like that? But that's what's happening right now, right before our very eyes. Like, if you were to just time travel from like 60 years ago, if it were possible, and go right now, you'd be like, wow, this is like, wow, like it's so close. Like the rapture, like you'd be looking up going, the rapture is going to happen any second. Because this wasn't this fast 10 years ago. It wasn't like this. Thoughts? Man, I stunned them. I stunned the Watchmen, and I stunned them. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, it feels like we're closer today than it does yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like time has, like literal time feels like it's sped up over the last few months. I don't know if anybody's noticed that, but then it's also kind of
the domino effect.
Yeah.
Everything is crumbling faster and faster. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like your wipers on a big rain. You cannot write and see all the what's coming, all the events. It's too fast.
Yeah.
There's too much.
That's a good illustration for sure, for sure. And we had a storm just last night, and same thing, like all of a sudden it just dumped and you couldn't turn on the wipers fast enough and you could hardly see. And before you knew it, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. And I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah, like we have, there's birth pain, birth pangs. But once you know, I've never had a child, so I can only guess. I had three children, but I didn't personally. But I know there's false labor and all this kind of stuff that goes on. And there's that moment in time where your wife grabs you and grips you. And my wife is like 5'1¼" and picks me up off the ground and says, "It's time. I am going to have a child." And you go to the hospital because now it's imminent. It's imminent. It's imminent. You know it's coming. There's no going back. There's no saying, "Oh, yeah, no." No, the baby's not coming. It's too late. It's coming. So this is how it's building right now. We see earthquakes. You could just go on the news, whatever, and it just feels like, man, if you don't watch the news for a couple months and then you just pop it on for 30 seconds,
you get dizzy.
Like 100 volcanoes going and starting to rumble and all this stuff. Like it's birth pangs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're increasing to that point of no return, and we're out of here, and the baby's coming.
Well, there are earthquakes taking place now in places that are, she said, they'll be in diverse places. Well, they're all over New York now, New Jersey. That's just had a tornadoes rip through this country over the last 5 days. Okay.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff happening now, and people just kind of refuse to look at it, refuse to pay attention to it.
Well, it seems like it's the new norm, right? When something feels the new norm, it's like, well, normal. Yeah.
But I don't get surprised for anything anymore.
Yeah.
It just popped there and said, "Oh, look at that." That's it. That's all my reaction now. I don't get excited anymore. I don't get fear. I don't get anything. Oh, look at that. Tokyo, yeah. This is an
earthquake. It's like we already knew this was going to happen.
Yeah. It's coming.
Yeah, that's weird.
There is no such thing as half pregnant. So there is no such thing as half Bible. We're in it now. There's no way out. Okay. Even if you have a spaceship, there is no way out.
One way out.
It's gonna come.
Mm-hmm.
Make your decision now. Because the morning after the rapture, some will be gnashing of teeth and crying.
Well, you got to look at it this way right now. We have a government right now, a corrupt government that desperately needs World War III. World War III is a nuclear war.
Yes, both USA and Canada is pretty bad. Yes.
But those are in power now. They need it badly. Mm-hmm. They don't need just a war with invasion, a few missiles, and you know, have another one with Pearl Harbor. No, they need some decimation in this country in order to save this country in their eyes, in order to save their own hides. Okay, or no, in order for them to stay in power. That's why they're so desperate to pull us into a nuclear war with Putin. Mm-hmm. Because if this country goes down, at least a few of the cities go down, this country can just claim, hey, we're a war-torn nation now. Debt forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Forgive us of all of our debt. Mm-hmm. So they know they're going to get this war. That's why they're running up that debt, $1 trillion every 90 days now. It's like a credit card they know is going to get canceled, wiped out. There's unlimited spending on it. So, like, let's max it out, make ourselves rich. Yeah. It's about to get canceled. Mm-hmm. All right. We won't be responsible for it. But they need a nuclear war in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They need it. And they, of course, if that happens, they get to stay in power. They get a lot of money. And then they could just easily bring in the new digital currency system, which, by the way, they're pushing really hard for right now because they're claiming that there are all these cyber attacks that are taking place right now where they're afraid to wipe out all the money in the banks and come to find out most of the banks are already empty anyway. So they did it that way just in case there's a run on the banks. There won't be any money for people to run to. They're in position now, guys. They are in position now. Yeah. Right? And something's coming. People forget, man. We just went through that nuclear, not nuclear, we just went through that eclipse April 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Has everybody forgotten about that 40-day countdown?
Well, no, but I forgot that we went through a nuclear holocaust, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Bob's got that on his brain here because he's seen so he's gotten so many dreams and visions from people that are just pointing to that right around the rapture, time of the rapture, right? And your own dream that was insane. That I mean, that would have been frightening. But at the same time, though, I think you weren't necessarily frightened because you were running. You knew you were going to get to safety. I think it felt like you were going to get there. Like it wasn't going to overtake you. It was a big wave, right? Yeah, that thing wasn't going to overtake you. But we've also had dreams about seeing multiple moons and stuff too. That's kind of strange. Greg and I had very similar dreams about that. I don't know. There may be something. I mean, listen, when there's thousands and thousands of people having the same vision about being escaping a nuclear bomb or whatever, that's pretty telling, you know?
Right. You got China too. China's they're dumping all their US bonds now, turning into gold now.
Yeah.
They're liquidating everything. They're detaching from us. All the countries are detaching from us.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Does that sound familiar? Like I don't think we're Mystery Babylon. But, you know, the Bible says, I think we're a type where we're going to see that judgment, where they're going to look at us from afar and say, oh, there's one great nation that everybody got drunk and rich off of. Now you're just desolate. You know,
it happened. I'm still going to buy into what you said. I think maybe about a year and a half ago, you were saying that the first half, by the end of the first half of the tribulation, the Western Hemisphere is going to be completely devastated because where's all the action take place, especially in the second half of the tribulation? It's over in Israel in that area. I mean, there's like not much going on over there. You're talking all these prophecies about wars and stuff like that. Where are those wars? Where's the, you know, it says the judgment of Gaza, the judgment of Lebanon, the judgment of Jordan, the judgment of Elam, the judgment of Iran, basically the judgment of Gog, the judge. I mean, all those judges. It's not over here. It's not over here. It's not in South America either, by the way. So what you were saying, Bob, was that you think that the Earth's going to be in the same place, basically, as where it was when Jesus was when he was on the Earth. Is that is what Jesus is going to come back to? Basically, that same kind of setup where not much going on over here, but a whole bunch going on over there. And so the devastation that could take place during the first half of the tribulation around this place, combined with, sleeper cells, war, internal strife, corruption, possibly one of the 10 kings is ruling the United States and the area around here that is taken out by and one of the three horns. Mm-hmm. Because remember, three kings fall. The Antichrist takes down three. So could that be the United States? It's very possible.
I can't believe we're even talking about this. This is madness.
Yeah, well, to those who are not watching and who are just, you know, going on along their day and not caring about anything, then sure, this would sound like madness. But to us, it seems like very plausible things that could happen in the near future.
Well, look what they're trying to do with Putin right now. Putin's a bad guy for all NATO. Okay, and I was telling John and Aaron today, you know, Putin asked to get into NATO, and that's when they weren't warring, and they told him to go jump in the lake.
Sure.
Why? That's the second most powerful nation nuclear weapons-wise.
Right.
Okay, with America. Why not
align with them, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Why not have them in NATO? But they wouldn't let them in. You guys know why? Here's my theory. What do you think? I think he's a king of the North in Daniel chapter 11. It's going to be his country, Putin, or whoever's going to replace him, be it as it may.
Yeah.
Okay. They are going to be a thorn in the side of the Antichrist in his kingdom on the earth. They will oppose the Antichrist in his kingdom, which is represented by NATO. NATO is the pre-army for the Antichrist army. They're pretty much the setup army. And then you can have the Antichrist army coming in behind NATO. But they know Russia, whoever's going to be the king of the North, it's going to fight the Antichrist army at the end of the seven-year tribulation in the Battle of Armageddon. So right now they're trying to hedge their bet and put that Putin and Russia in their corner in a corner, minimize them so that way they won't be a problem for the Antichrist during the 7 years, especially at the end of the 7 years.
Yeah, and you know, we talked, we had the name for them in Left Behind. They're the Global Community Peacekeepers.
Yeah.
Does that sound perfect for that kind of army of the Antichrist, the Global Community Peacekeepers? I mean, of course they're, yeah, that's perfect. GCP? I mean, that is the GCP. That is like the peacekeepers. That, remember, they always say what they're not. Yeah. So they always do that, right? They say like the Affordable Care Act. Okay, well, nothing affordable about it, and it's not caring for anybody. The Inflation Reduction Act, which caused inflation to go sky high. You know, so they always call something exactly the opposite of what it is. So when they're the global community peacekeepers, they're neither a community because the globe is fractured at that point, like Bob's talking about, and they're not peacekeepers, they're warmongers.
And you want to see events that's going on when I bring the gospel and they don't want to hear it. I said, okay, you're a smart person. Put the Bible away. Put the word of God away. Put the salvation away. You're a smart person. What's going on in the world right now? Is it good? Look right now as we speak, at the University of Columbia in New York, there's a riot right now. It's on the news right now. I got that right there on the screen.
You know why? Because they started breaking in and entering into things, and now they've taken it to the next level. So the question is, how far are they going to allow that to be taken, right? And so, of course, there's going to be a pushback at a certain point, and I think that we're starting to see that right now.
No, good. So let's dive into some of these questions here.
There's a bunch.
Yeah, so let's... let's pick some juicy ones.
Juicy.
Real juicy questions that are unanswerable.
Just juicy and meaty. Let's get down to the meat.
Let's go.
Let's not talk about milk anymore. Are we talking about milk today? I don't think we're talking about milk hardly at all.
Let's go to steak and eggs.
Ooh, I like that.
Let's see here. We'll start here with Caesar.
Somebody had a question about, I don't know, is he? Nice. He had a question about...
Heaven. Bob, do you know the day of the rapture again?
Do you think, Bob, that the rapture will come anytime between 24 and 2026? I don't know when it's going to come. But you know what's interesting, though, is I was showing Brother John this. Did you guys, I think I pulled a picture up here of Greg and Bob. full screen, Greg. Greg could give me a full screen here. I think I could probably do that for myself.
Bob's on the road to 2024.
Okay. You guys see this right here?
Yep.
All right.
Harmony.
Rapture Harmony. If you guys see it on your screens, the solar eclipse went through Rapture Harmony, and it was at totality for 3 minutes and 51 seconds.
350. All right.
Which is 351, which of course turned around as the 153 fish.
Oh, which is, yes.
Which is Luke 21:11. Wow. Which is a representation of the rapture. Okay. There's a large amount of fish, never broke, seal of God. You're once saved, always saved. Rapture Harmony. So you had that picture of the rapture there. But look at this right here. This is Homer Simpson's outline, his numbers for the rapture. Okay. 5:8, 5:18. That's the end of the 40-day count. But look at this. There it is again. The 3:15, which is 153, the 153 fish. Again, so 153 fish, Rapture Harmony, the 153 fish for Homer Simpson's rapture prediction.
Do I need to change my quote, Bob, to the day of the rapture is on the day that Homer Simpson predicted?
I don't know. Who knows, but like, could that be a fake rapture day when they do Project Bluebeam or something crazy like that? What do you think, Amy? Amy, I got Amy's attention. What do you think?
Well, you definitely got my attention with that 153. Like, I haven't, you know, I'm usually like down these little rabbit holes like this, but I haven't seen this little thing that you showed. But I was like, Lord, like reveal, because in the last few months, the 153 fish, I have been asking the Lord, why this number?
Mm-hmm.
Why this number? I keep asking him. I'm like, I want to know why this number. So you just kind of give me something that I'm going to kind of do a little dive on, because I keep asking him, you know, I keep going back to it. Like, I want to know why, what does this represent? What's this number? And, you know, and I like, there's a lot to this question, because the unraveling of what was going on in that whole scene there. I know me and Shane went, we had a big long chat about it, but you know, there's something end time-ish about this in that regards to 153. So it was just kind of exciting because the Lord has been stirring me on this number and I had my suspicions on it. And so I'm going to have to allow the Lord to like unravel some more things. So I'd love to chat with you more about that. Yeah. So that's Amen. Pretty interesting.
Let's see here for, what's that?
I don't know. I was just thinking that no one except Homer Simpson knows the day or the hour. Actually, not only does Homer Simpson know the day and the hour, he knows the minute. He knows the minute, Bob.
Yeah, I think that was a variable that they had to put in there, because I think there's this timeline that the fallen angels know. Greg was talking about that last week, where the fallen angels also translated means the knowing, so they know things. Knowing,
yeah.
And they had the number 153, so like, hey, how do we put this 153 into the Homer Simpson thing here? Well, we can't do 153.
You can't do 153, right.
So we'll switch it around to 315. Yeah. Sounds good. All right. So you know, it's just as easy as that. You know,
have Jesus you seen that it. One video that I don't remember the guy's name, Jocko, I think his name is, but he's Jocko, and he did a video about 923 and like all the movies and TV shows and everything that shows 923 or some variation thereof. Mm-hmm. And of course, Revelation 12 sign was 923 for us here. That's when it started and finished on 924. So I don't know. I mean, there you might be right, Bob. There are definitely some things that, and I think a lot of people say this too, is that they telegraph or tell you what they're going to do before they do it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the fallen angels, they can see the whole timeline itself. Okay, I think there's a timeline that they can see, and mm-hmm. You know what? Let's just be honest. Okay, yeah, we don't know the day and hour this event's going to take place. We just don't, okay? But when they look at that timeline, don't you think that you can tell that there is a shift that takes place mm-hmm. within that timeline, like a massive shift where it shows, hey, it shows right here that we absolutely take over the entire earth at a really accelerated pace at this point in the timeline. Do you think that's when the rapture is? They're like, maybe, you know? And so maybe that's how they're doing it. But they don't know for sure either. All they know is, hey, the timeline accelerates, right? It changes drastically right at this moment right here. So that's probably when the rapture is. Well, we don't know.
So
restrainer removed, Antichrist comes onto the scene.
Yeah.
As Lele Marzulli says, we go up, they come down. I mean, makes sense, right, Bob?
Well, you know, it's interesting, like this one. 153, because like that's in John 21, and like if we look at the full context, there's a lot going on here, and I love it, but I'll just kind of keep it really simple. There is the amount of fish that they caught. None was broken free, all mm-hmm. captured.
Yeah, the
all
net taken, was intact. Yeah,
all taken. Okay, right. And then he goes on also mentioning, which is interesting, like we're because there was a different instance where some of them, like it was the nets were breaking at the beginning,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
When he first called Peter, right?
Yep. First
and
one
now breaking, you have yep. a beautiful place here where he's ministering to Peter, speaking life back into him, his identity back into him, asking him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? And then what does he go and call him? Simon, son of Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right? And so this is
that's deep, sister.
Right, and so we know what just occurred. We'll
steal okay. that one,
right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to make a video about that one.
That's okay, right? We go on for about an hour on this.
No,
this
that's what the name was, Simon Bar Jonah, Simon son of Jonah. Yeah,
yeah. And when you said 153, I screamed because, I there was a lot of things that are going on in John 21 that's beautiful and amazing and end time-ish. And so, you know, this is something to just kind of like linger on, and I mean, we could talk about it another time, but it's interesting. So yeah.
Good find.
I love that.
Good find. Mm-hmm. All right. So the question here, do you think Messianic leaning Jews are the ones that will be protected as opposed to the straight out of non-believing Jews? Well, Messianic Jews believe in Jesus Messiah now.
Okay. Yes, they're gone.
Yeah, sure.
They're gone. So actually, there might be a little bit of a, there might be a divide even in Messianic. Messianic, there's some Jews like Robert Breaker is talking about. They mm-hmm. believe in Jesus as Messiah, but they don't believe in the work that he did to save them.
Right. No. Right. So, and that's what this is all about. So those people are leaning towards believing, but yeah. they're not there yet, as opposed to the ones who don't believe. They don't even believe that Moses existed. There's Jews, plenty of Jews that are like, those are just fairy tales from the old. Yeah. So yes, if they don't believe before the rapture, yeah, I mean, those are gonna be the ones that are probably going to come to Christ very early on, because they are aware, and they actually do have faith in God. They just don't have faith in his son just yet, but at least they have faith in God. So that's the first step, right? So yeah, probably. I would think that anybody leaning toward that way that doesn't get raptured is going to be susceptible to accepting the gospel after that, after the rapture. Because
I think that's where probably Matthew opens up to them.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they're like, you mean this was here all this time talking about Jesus, a Jew, and this was here and nobody told me about this?
Right.
And then all of a sudden the scriptures open up and everything.
And reinforced by 144,000 witnesses, as well as what a lot of people believe, two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. If it's Moses and Elijah in front of a temple, a rebuilt temple, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, those leaning towards that and that are Jews are going to say that's Moses, for goodness sakes. I mean, I believe Moses, and I also know, and then they'll read about in the New Testament and say, well, his body was disputed over. Why was that? He's the only one that had a body disputed over in the entire history of the world. But basically at that point, they're all going to be like, they're telling me that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And they're not just saying that without proof. They are backing it up with all kinds of things, basically, you know? So, and they're going to say, you know, you murdered the prophets and this and that, just, you know, the whole speech that Stephen did. I'm sure that Moses and Elijah are going to take some quotes from that, because that was a really good speech.
Yep. For sure. For sure. That's a good point.
Great point. Yeah. Question here from Blessed Saint 88. Does the rapture have a particular direction from east to west? I think Jesus was talking about his light shining as lightning from east to the west, or something like that. Might be referring to. I think he just shows up in the atmosphere and it's a global event.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he's going to show up over Mount Hermon or Mount Sinai, one of those mountains over there. That's where he's going to show up at. And then maybe he'll speak a word from that point. And we'll actually have to travel from east to west.
Yeah, so we'll go from west to east, and other people will go from east to west. So they'll converge at a certain point. Okay.
Yeah, I could see that.
I can see that, too.
Could that be the east to the west would be for the second coming?
You see, that's what I was thinking, is that when if he sits down on the Mount of Olives, that's, by the way, to the east of the temple, which we know is going to have an earthquake, which splits it from north and south. So it could go from the lightning strike from the east to the west. That could be it too.
He's going to go through the door that I'm always
the
gate.
The golden gate.
Right.
That's funny.
You know, I'm just thinking to myself right now, as Kevin's talking right there, I was like, can you imagine what our family's listening to us now? And Kevin's saying all this stuff. They have no idea what we're talking about. No, it's like, what are you guys talking about? East to west and Golden Gates? What are you guys? What are you guys talking about? Christians
are you serious?
It's like, what kind of Christians are you? It's the man who knew too much. I mean, it's just like, but can you know too much? I mean, you really can't, because consider what's in store for us in the future.
Right. Paul was talking with Festus. Festus told him, Paul,
you are mad.
Much learning make you mad. Paul said, oh, Nobel, I am not mad. I speak the truth and soberness.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as learning too much.
That's okay. So I'm glad you mentioned that because someone in chat said, Kevin needs to lay off the caffeine. I speak, I speak in soberness. I am not on caffeine. If I was on caffeine, I don't know how the heck I would act. But
keep
I don't
it coming.
It. I certainly keep don't it coming, need it.
Kevin.
And listen, here's the other thing too. In regards to what you were saying about Paul, I lost my train of thought because I talked about caffeine. I see that you're talking about caffeine because I don't take it.
Well, Paul was learned very much.
We were talking about Paul.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Paul was very learned.
Yes, I got it back. Somebody in chat asked a question and said, do you think that we're going to be using computers and stuff like that up in heaven?
No.
And the answer to that is absolutely not. And the reason for that is because we are going to be like him.
Yes,
we are going to be like him. Do you think that Jesus needs a computer? No, he does not. Yeah, we do not. We will not need computers. We will be faster. We will think faster. We will do things faster. Yeah. We'll be better than computers. Yeah. Better.
Now, if they had asked the question, is baseball going to be in heaven? I would be like, you know what?
That's a good possibility.
It's a great possibility, especially everybody against the Angels.
Would there be a French department?
Hope not.
I don't think there's going to be. Any of that because those are countries on Earth which are all going to pass away. I don't think there's going to be any French. Like, not to say that the French people there.
That sounds funny.
I don't think that one day we're going to talk about your friend. Okay.
We lost them. See you later. Lost the French.
I just don't think we're gonna. I don't think we're gonna talk about French and this and that in the future. I think at one day that's gonna pass away as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the old is gone. The old has passed away. The new has come. So I just think one day we won't even be remembering it anymore.
There's no room in this world for Pepe Le Pew.
Here's a question what Amy was talking about earlier. Do you think the reason why the days and years are going by so fast is because those days were shortened?
Not yet.
Things are speeding up like Amy was talking about. You know what? Things feel like they've been speeding up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
Me too. Sure.
Big time.
Yeah.
I mean, even when things are not happening right now, I mean, I'm not really pleased with the live feeds right now because I'm not seeing a whole lot of stuff happening. Oh, you've seen live feeds about what this politician said to this politician. I don't care what you guys are saying to each other. Okay, you're all the same feather of the same bird. Who cares what you guys say to each other? Like Trump and all that. Who cares? Yeah. Okay.
But this is a distinction, though, between what's going on now and actually what's going to happen in the tribulation. We talk about this all the time, that people like to project things that are happening now and say that we're in the tribulation or whatever, project things that are in the tribulation and say that's happening now. But you have to remember, it is so different that in actuality, the days are going to be literally shortened, that the sun is not going to shine for a third.
Yep.
Okay. And the moon is not going to give its light. So. Yeah. Right you there. Have to remember that things are way different than what we are dealing with now. Yes, this does feel like time is shortened in a way because we're so active. But again, that's a blurring of the lines that we talked about earlier and that we are experiencing some of the stuff that is actually going to happen in the tribulation. But in the tribulation, it is amped up to the next degree because it is supernatural. It is spiritual. It's God doing that. So man is not going to shut down the sun or the moon. Okay. God is going to do that.
Yeah. It's a good one.
It's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. You want to say something about that, Amy, or I know I brought you up in there. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with Kevin for sure, because that's speaking tribulation aspect. Right. But intense time movement right now. Absolutely. Like it's already Sunday. You know, I feel like it's already Monday. I got to go to work again, you know, and the days are just mushing together. Right. And, with the Lord, it's just like, let us not be lost in this time that's kind of mashing and let us be you know, very fruitful in this time, right? Mm. Like, so yeah, it's mind-boggling. But
gathering together all the more while we see the day approaching. Yeah. I think that's what we're doing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And listen, there's no lack of people gathering together on video for that are watchers. Okay. Yeah. I mean, every single day there's a panel, well, even more than one, there's like multiple panels on multiple channels every single day.
Not so, like this one though. Not like this panel.
I don't know. I don't know about that, but I've seen some pretty good ones, but I can tell you this though. I can tell you this. There are many people gathering together right now because we do see the day approaching. It's certainly more so now than it was 5 years ago.
Yep. I love this. We were talking about this today, John and I, about these pastors and be it as it may, so this from here from Chef, he says, my pastor said that the only people that can be saved during the tribulation are people that never heard the gospel.
Does that even make any logical sense? Let's say somebody heard the gospel now, but didn't just say, I'm not going to do that right now. And then the tribulation comes. Wouldn't you think those are going to be some of the people that actually accept it? I mean, it just doesn't seem logical that nobody who's heard the gospel now is not going to accept later on. That kind of puts God in a box, doesn't it? It's like, no, these people are ineligible for salvation. I just don't see that.
Yeah, planting a seed, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Plant a seed.
Why would you plant a seed then?
Yeah, plant a seed.
Why would you spread the gospel then at all, right, Amy? I mean, if a person is ineligible to receive salvation, if they've heard the gospel, why would Jesus go and say, preach the gospel?
Well, I guess my question would be like, show me where it says that in the word.
Yeah, well, it doesn't.
Thank you.
It's First Opinion 6, verse 12.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. You get these pastors and they go to that same, all go from that seminary school. They get a piece of paper and they say, I'm qualified now to lead people to Christ. You know, the five of us are more qualified than any pastors.
So am I misreading the question? Like, no. I'll just read it again. Like, my pastor said that the only people that can be saved during the tribulation are people that have never heard the gospel. So what does the person say? So you have a person there that's in the tribulation. They've never heard the gospel. And then now they get saved.
They're the only people who can be saved. So if you have heard the gospel and you're in the tribulation, then you cannot be saved.
Okay. Yeah. So if you heard the gospel right now and you refuse to believe, all right, today's the day of salvation. You're like, not today.
No, not today.
You go into the tribulation.
Actually, not ever for you because you heard it.
Yeah. Right. I hear you. Okay. I gotcha. That makes
so
sense.
So ridiculous. It's like, that's so bad. That is terrible. Because you know what that does? That demotivates people from sharing the gospel.
Right. You're like, hold on a second before I share the gospel with you. Have you heard the gospel yet? Sorry, I can't share with you, man.
Yeah.
Sorry,
you're gospel. I better keep you safe.
You had your chance. You had your chance.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I already preached it.
That is the worst of the worst. This pastor, you need to flee from that.
Time to get away from that pastor and his leadership.
Flee.
Oh my goodness.
You see them by their, you know them by their fruits. What kind of fruit is that?
It's a rotten one.
Rotten. bad, rotten fruit. Yeah.
I think the consensus is this is rotten fruit.
It's rotten fruit. It stinks. It doesn't pass the smell test.
All right, next question.
Wrong answer.
Here, how about this one?
Two strikes on the board.
Raptured, will John still have his accent?
Wow, you're going deep on that one. Wow.
I hope so.
I don't really feel the love right now. I do not feel the love.
No. It's endearment, John. It's a term of endearment. We like it. Yes, will John have his accent? I really hope so, because if he's talking normal, I'm going to be like, that's not John. That's not John. I want to hear the accent. I want to hear what he talks like.
I don't see that I have
You know who we're going to be making fun of in heaven, John? It's going to be Adam, and it's going to be Noah. Okay, not Noah. It's going to be Moses. Anytime you need, hey, although there's people here, Moses, can you separate the crowd here so I can get through? Just mocking them. Hey, look at this fruit here, Adam. It doesn't look that good. Those are the only two, I think. Well, make fun of Jonah, too. Is I got a little bit of work here. It's a little uncomfortable. Are you going to run away now? You know?
I mean, I can't imagine that, actually. Moses, there's a huge crowd. I need to get to the other side. Can you just park the crowd for me? And it's like, oh, my God. Moses can be like, you know how many times I've heard that over the last 6 billion years?
Yep. He can do a little park the crowd. Need some water. Can you strike this rock for me, man?
No, don't bring that up. Don't bring that up. That was bad.
Yeah, don't worry about it, John. You'll be all right.
John, you're going to have your
accent. Yeah, I read the commentary, and you guys started some poop there.
Oh, no, we like it. We like it. You're always putting your words in our mouth.
That's I got funny. One here from Jonas, he wants to go. What happens to American sovereignty if it's turned over to the WHO? We lose it.
Yeah, it's a loss.
A medical emergency. Yeah, we don't have any sovereignty. Hmm. But I don't see them going overboard with this until they're ready to push the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
Because anybody, if they tried to bring anything like that right now, boy, everybody knows what happened over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck.
They could try doing it after their restrainer is removed. I mean, at that point, try to join the global community of that. But I don't know. I don't know. But all if that would happen, though, it's just speeding up the downhill slide to oblivion.
Yeah. Fool me once. Shame on me, man.
Yep. Fool me twice. You're not going to fool me again.
Yeah. No kidding. I don't think they could use that weapon again. I don't think they're going to try to. Unless it has to be definitely after the rapture. So, yeah, absolutely. So, should we do one more question? I know we're almost at about 2 hours here, Shane.
Yeah, one more question. Let's do one, then we'll get final thoughts from the panel.
Nice.
That's a good one to close with. Let's do our final thoughts with this. What do you think, Shane?
Yes.
Are you guys still hopeful for a 2024 rapture this year?
Yes.
I'm hopeful for it. Because I don't want to be tonight. Here until November.
Even tonight, I'm hopeful.
Looking Amen. Forward to our blessed hope.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Return of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, we're hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because you can't see it. That's why we hope for it.
That's right. You get a crown of righteousness if you're looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ.
Yep. That was an easy question. Give us one more.
Yeah. Give us another one. That was a softball.
I just smashed that out of the park. That was a whole run.
That's a Biden on Howard Stern type question. That's just something a little bit harder here.
Okay. Because I figured that'd be an easy one to leave off with. how about this one here?
That one's too hard. Not that one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
You got to know the Bible. You got to know the Bible in order to answer this one now. You got to read the whole Bible to answer.
I'll read it. Order in hell. Okay. Are the 144,000 among us? And could they be watching Uptime and not knowing they are chosen?
Why not, John? I hope. Why not?
They could be watching it, but I think they know who they are, right?
I don't physically believe. I had that discussion with my co-host there in my Bible study there that we bring up. But I still, let's say you can find 144,000 virgin male. Okay, they could be kids right now and everything.
Yeah.
But lie was not found in their mouth, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is impossible because as soon as you start babbling words, you lie to your mom. So I still think, and Breaker had a good thing about this, I still think myself and I, and it's only me and my, and moi.
Yeah, me, myself, and moi.
I believe that's 12,000 from each tribe that they were killed when it was because it says wherever the Lord goes, they follow. So right now they're with him. And it says the first fruits. Go read it, right? Go read it about it.
They are the first fruits, sure.
The first fruits with an S.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the first one to die before Jesus was even on his mission, right? So, and Jesus, who can testify for his generation? Jesus, when he was there, he was 33 years old, 30, whatever. 2 years before, 2 years after, there is nobody of his age in as a male. He's by himself.
All right. Again, people in chat, that's his opinion. It doesn't.
Yes, that's only my opinion.
It doesn't mean that it's true, or doesn't mean that it's not true. But yeah. and you are more than happy to disagree with him and have your own opinions
It's an interesting idea. I think I'm gonna be meditating on that because it's an interesting thought there, John, for sure.
Well, that's
That's good. But that was a heavy one.
Yeah, wow. It's okay to have a differing of opinions on things like that. You just can't, what you can't do this though is let it be contentious and start getting in the way of the actual message.
That's good. Okay, so final thoughts. Let's go, Bob. Let's go, Amy, Kevin, John, Bob, to finish.
All right.
So, Amy, final thoughts.
This was awesome
tonight. Did you like it here tonight?
Yeah, this was awesome. I really enjoyed it. And again, I'm just saying thank you for inviting me in these awesome conversations and reading the comments. There's some funny ones in there, you know, and there's some that I'm like, what? But
even my wife is on here. My wife's on here too.
Hi, Sandy.
Yeah, she's in the States in California right now. She was flirting with me in the comments.
Oh no, there. Not in California.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Amy.
Amy, I loved having you here. It was such a you added so much. You were amazing for your first time on here, and I do hope that you come back because you are a blessing to all of us for sure. Thank you for being a part of the Uptime family.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, you guys. I really appreciate it. It's fun.
John.
Moi?
Toi?
Well, no matter what you think, no matter what you say, no matter what you're watching, make sure that you're safe. Please, there is no time for other thing than the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. Now, you see my email address. If ever you want to come to the Bible study, drop me an email, and I will give you the code to get on Zoom. But just make sure that you're safe. Because the morning after the rapture, there will be bitter people and there will be a lot of sadness and crying. Mm-hmm. Believe that, because all the babies will be gone. All the young children before the age of accountability will be gone. All the Christian will be gone. That's going to be an empty space.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Yeah, great show tonight. Thanks for coming on, Amy. You did really well. I think you were really exciting. Listen, especially that one part where you really started to talk about what it means to be a watchman today in this hour, in these final hours. I think you really captured it. Mm-hmm. And I was watching you. I was just like, yeah. So if I might have been interrupted, I'm like, yeah, saying that. I'll make sure I edit that out later. Yeah. But I was really excited because you really captured it, because it is an exciting time to be a watchman. It is an exciting time to be watching because we are living in those days that the prophets wanted to see.
Yeah.
Okay. We could preach about it as it's happening. And we have a source of the Bible that says it's coming and now it's unfolding before us. Mm-hmm. So how exciting is that?
Yeah, it's very exciting. And that we got to be, you know, living in this time. Like, you know, just in that thought alone, just like, Lord, like you called me to live at this time.
Yeah.
So there's something that you see in me that I don't, you know, and show me, reveal me what I need to do for such a time as this, you know, like I know we use that scripture a lot, but I mean, it's how do you describe that? Like, and that's, you look around and even people that don't know Christ, it's like, well, you know what? Do you even know who you are in Christ? Because he's bore you at this time to live. Mm-hmm. That's pretty significant. You could have lived 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago, cross resurrection. Like, there's something that the Lord sees in you that wants to know you and use you, you know? And so that's pretty, just you can meditate on that alone. And it's just like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yep. All of you listening tonight and all of you listening later on, you are that person too, as well. It's not just a five of us here. It's all of us collected. The body of Christ that was living when the rapture resurrection takes place. Look, when the resurrection takes place, that's about 98, 99% of the body of Christ. Only like 1% of the body of Christ is going to be actually raptured. We're going to be a part of the living. Yeah. So we will be an extreme minority in heaven. So
the we who are alive and remain is not a very big group. Yes, agreed. And I mean, it would be awesome to be in part of that group. And I think Paul felt the same way 2,000 years ago. And we were feeling the same thing he did. It's like, we who are alive and remain would be caught. Wow, let's go. Let's do that.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's cool. So thanks, guys. Well, John's got something to say. I think his mic is on.
John's muted.
All I'll say is, all you guys, what you're talking about there, you can look into Luke 10:24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which see and have not seen them. Same thing for hearing. That's everything. That's the grace age. That's the birth of Christ. That's the coming back. That's the rapture. That's everything. This time, we are privileged right now to know about it.
Wow, that's good. I could do a whole video on that too. Wow, man, lots of gold nuggets. Okay, thank you. Thank you guys for being here tonight. Thank you for inviting me here to host, to facilitate. Thanks, Greg, in the background as well. I know you're there, brother.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's just, this is a fantastic group of people here. I know everybody here loves the Lord. I trust these guys. I trust my sister. Obviously, I love my sister. We go deep. We go deep like almost every day. We talk for like an hour, 2 hours. I kill my cell phone. I have to recharge it. All kinds of stuff. I can't tell you how much I love my sister. Like she's helped me so much in the past few years as well. And really I have three special women, not counting my daughters, because they're special too when they bring me blizzards. But my mom, obviously she's my biggest fan, and my wife who tunes in from time to time and gives me feedback as well. I appreciate her. Mm-hmm. And she kind of made me snap out of a lot of things through her prayer. And then also my sister as well. Like they saved my life basically. So I'm very honored to be here. And again, like the watchman, the watchdog, my sister, we always preach the gospel. We always want you to know that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, rose again on the third day, is alive forevermore.
Yeah.
He took all of our iniquities on the cross, past, present, future, nailed everything to the cross. And now we have God the Father that is the justifier. He justified us because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And all judgment was passed over to his son, Jesus Christ, the son, God, the son. And because he's not judging us, we also have the Holy Spirit. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. So we have three on our side, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So who can be against us? Really? No one. So thank you. Thank you, audience. Thank you, viewers, for commenting, for being on here, for taking 2 hours and 11 minutes of your time. Yeah, you could be watching friends, but you decided to watch these friends here tonight. So thank you.
Yeah, or the Brady Bunch. Whatever you want to call it.
So God bless you.
What you got here there?
God bless you. Greg's going to take us out with, we're going to land this plane. So thanks a lot, everyone.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one. Thank you.